The Columbia Land Conservancy is a countywide accredited land trust working with the community to conserve the farmland, forests, wildlife habitat, and rural character of Columbia County. In other words, they're doing God's work. They have their annual country barbecue on Sunday, May 24th, which is a celebration showcasing their conservation work in the region. Peter Payton is the executive director of the Columbia Land Conservancy and joins us this morning to talk about their programs and achievements in support of local agriculture that will be highlighted at Sunday's barbecue. It's a great pleasure to welcome Peter to the program. Peter Payton, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
I love when you're on the program. I love when we talk about this subject of land conservancy. We have, I do want to talk about your group, and I assume you'll agree with me, because I'm taking a little bit of a chance here, but it seems to me, just from my vantage point of sitting here and having many different groups, we cover a seven-state area, that, my goodness, we have a wonderful collection of these land conservancy groups who have come together and are just doing amazing work. And when you look at what the successes have been singularly, but certainly collectively, it's really staggering.
Well, you're absolutely right. There's a tremendous collection of land trusts in the Hudson Valley and beyond, and around the Massachusetts border and the Vermont border. And we do all communicate with each other pretty regularly. There's an excellent organization called the Land Trust Alliance, which is an umbrella group to which almost all of us belong, which helps us a lot in many ways with our work. And increasingly, we're talking about collaborating together, not just to be polite and friendly and help each other out from time to time, but to think about our conservation strategies on a more regional level. It's very important work.
Because this is one of the few things where you are not, there's really no competition, because you're all trying to save what you have within your respective counties or areas of concern.
That is certainly true. And, you know, we have different strengths that we bring to the table and enable us to work together in, you know, very constructive ways.
When it comes to the day-to-day work, your work as executive director, I mean, how much of that is trying to figure out what needs saving, or actually saving it, or we're talking landowners into this, and just general raising money? I mean, is that sort of, are all of those things a part of the job, or does one eclipse the other as far as greatest importance?
Well, that's an intriguing question. They're all important. We have a wonderful staff at the Columbia Land Conservancy. We're really fortunate to have a staff of 14 people. And they're really talented people. They have a lot of good energy and a lot of skill. So a lot of the work that we do is done by others, and I have the pleasure of sitting there and watch them do it and sometimes getting the credit for it. So we do a lot of thinking about what we call our strategic conservation plan. You know, where are the places that are most important to conserve? In a place like Columbia County, and we're not entirely unique in this regard, but Columbia County is just a fabulous place to be doing this kind of work. It's very sparsely populated. There's an enormous number of amount of land which has conservation value. There's more than one quarter of the county is excellent farm soil. And that's just amazing. It's more than 100,000 acres. And more than 200,000 acres is important forest land. There's all kinds of water resources. There's all kinds of habitat. So we don't really have trouble finding good opportunities to conserve land.
Right.
And, you know, we try, and I don't think of it as talking people into conserving their land. I think of, you know, we're a little bit in the business of evangelism. We're preaching the good news. We're trying to talk throughout the county about the really special nature of the land that we inhabit. Everyone who lives there values that greatly. The longtime residents of many generations, the weekenders that just bought their first house, they're all there for the same reason. They love it. And we're trying to make people understand that it can stay that way and we can keep it that way, but it's not going to happen by accident. We have to take certain steps to try to see that it's conserved.
So when you think of what you're up against, let's see how I ask this question nicely. So if you're passing out white hats and black hats, who would get the black hat?
Well, I don't think of it so much as a black hat and white hat thing, honestly. I think, you know, people will develop land, and often land has been developed in our culture more or less on an ad hoc basis because someone will want to do something with a particular piece. And often local municipalities don't have strong land use controls in place. And everybody respects the right of private property ownership, and a man should be able to do what he wants with his own land and all of that kind of thing. And then things kind of happen a little bit helter-skelter. There's development pressure. People want homes. All of a sudden, really good farmland has gotten built up on because it happens to be a great and easy place to build a house. It drains well. The costs are inexpensive and so forth. So I think it's a question of mobilizing consciousness to make people realize that we can have really good houses and nice places to live and a good economy. We just have to think a little bit about where we want things to go and what kind of an economy we want. In Columbia County, I think increasingly people are coming to realize that our future, our economic future, could be in a really strong agricultural sector and a strong tourism sector, the kinds of things that are really consistent with what make it such a special place.
And Columbia County, from my driving through the county, is a correct me. I'm sure you have the numbers of a very agriculturally rich county.
Absolutely, as I said, we have 100,000 acres of good. That means prime soil, essentially, and more than that.
What's the percentage? I mean,
a quarter of the county.
Okay, that's huge.
That's huge. And beyond that, we have an awful lot of land which isn't necessarily prime soil, but there's grass growing on it, and it's fenced in, and you can graze a beef cow without excellent soil. So the agricultural resource is huge, and you're right. I think compared to a lot of other counties, even in the Hudson Valley, there's more of an active ag business left. There's large agricultural machinery businesses. There's large animal vets. There's feed stores. There's the kinds of things, infrastructure that farmers need.
So I've always wondered about this. So let me ask you the question, which is if I'm a farmer and I have 300 acres and I have a dairy farm, And I want to develop to increase the business and to invest in the business, and I want to put up a new barn and I want to put up a new milking parlor or whatever the case may be. That then, as you said, you know, do with your land what you want to do, and then that's helping. So that's the kind of thing that you support ultimately, because it's helping the agriculture business within the county, right?
Not only do we support it, we're often able to help them finance it. Because we can purchase the development rights on their farm, which is, you know, a farmer in such a case with 300 acres is maybe a multimillionaire on paper, but a large part of the equity is a development right to his farm. And if he really wants to keep farming and his children want to stay in the business, a lot of farmers are coming to see they can sell those development rights, take the cash, and build a new barn or increase the size of their herd. And it's been done, and we've done it time and again in the last 3 or 4 years. We've purchased the development rights on more than 15 farms in the last 4 years. 2,000 acres of land, $7 million went into the pockets of those farm families.
So let me just flip the scenario, and then we'll talk about your event this weekend, and flip the scenario and say, okay, I have a 300-acre farm. I'm in my 70s. My kids don't want anything. They all live in Cleveland. They don't want to have anything to do with this. I'm tired. I'm ready to go. And now what do I do?
That's a really important question for a lot of farm families. But people feel, people have different feelings about it. Many farmers in that situation, we have found, even though they have exactly that dilemma, aren't really thrilled about the idea of selling their farm to a big developer. They'd love to see it stay in farming. And one of the things we've done in the last few years I do want to mention is that we have developed a match program to match people who own farmland with people who are looking for access to farmland. Access to farmland is a really big issue in our area because of the cost. And some of those matches take place in exactly that situation. Some of them are just, you know, someone with the a part-time home and it's a farm and they'd like to see someone using it well. We have made 50 matches in the last 5 years on more than 2,000 acres of land, people farming, making a living on somebody else's land, and sometimes leading to a transition just in the kind of situation you mentioned where that new farmer can move on the land and ultimately be able to purchase it. And by purchasing development rights, we're able to reduce the value of the farm so that it's more affordable for the farmer.
So in other words, you have a family that again, that scenario, the 70-year-old couple who has the beautiful farmhouse and all this land to keep up, somebody comes and actually works the farm, they stay in the house, and that's the agreement, and there's an agreement worked out.
Or in another case, recently we did something very similar where the people, they wanted to stay in the land, they wanted to keep their house, but they were ready to retire, and a neighboring farmer who really wanted to expand was able to take purchase of development rights money to buy that land. It's conserved, it's in an easement. And the retired farm family is staying right there in their farmhouse surrounded by farmland for as long as they want. But someone else has bought them out, and they've used money from conserving the land.
So in some way, you're almost a mediator.
Yes, that's true. And we're also an economic development engine.
We've
of our 50 matches, I would guess that at least 36 of them are new businesses that have started up. Hudson is full of young people who want to go into farming and looking for opportunities to get on the land and doing the entire range of farming that you can imagine.
I don't want to take away time from talking about the event, but let me just quickly throw out this question. But I was told years ago from another neighboring organization, Land Conservancy, that most of the money has to go to just the legal mechanics of it to make sure that everything goes and stays the way it is. Is that still the case, or have laws changed and made it easier?
I'm not quite sure what you're referring to. We have a fund to, we call our stewardship fund, that allows us to have the financial ability to be sure that the terms of the easements that we hold are complied with. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
So that's not most of the money, but it is, we have a very serious obligation. We have easements on 24,000 acres of land, about almost 200 different landowners. And we have an obligation from now until the end of time, as wild as that sounds, to be sure that the terms are complied with. We visit the properties yearly, and if somebody doesn't comply, we have an obligation to enforce it. We've been really lucky and fortunate, and hopefully do a good job in our landowner relations. Haven't had to do that yet, but someday we will. And we have a fund salted away to allow us to be able to afford to do it.
Do you ever understand, though, why the same people who want to come and enjoy the beauty of the land and drive through the county and say, oh my God, this is a beautiful place, are the same people who want to buy, develop, and destroy it?
I don't know that they necessarily are. I think
you're kinder than I am.
Well, I think a lot of the developers don't have that sort of long-term interest in the community. A lot of the developers see a piece of land. The people that come up and say, this is beautiful, I want to have a house here, don't really want a big development next door to them. They don't want to develop,
but they're going to buy that land and they'll put up a huge...
Well, the huge house, that is sort of a cultural issue, and you're right. I mean, there are people who haven't quite got the message yet that 30,000 square foot houses are not the wave of the future. But, more and more people are more conscious of those things and building more moderately.
Okay, so we want to help you in your efforts. So you have this annual country barbecue. It takes place on the 24th, and that's this Sunday. And where does it take place?
This year we're going to be at the Chittenden Family Farm. It's called the Dutch Hollow Farm. It's in the very northern corner of Columbia County. It's almost in Rensselaer. In fact, the post office address is Rensselaer County. One of the things I love about our barbecue is we do it in different places, and it urges people to move around and see what a fabulous place it is. So this is probably a part of the county that many of our constituents haven't seen. It's beautiful. It's a really a little different for us. This is a very, very well-run 600 or 800 cow dairy farm. It's a big operation. Jersey cows, they're beautiful. They are really set up for public education. They have very organized tours of the barns. They have an education center to talk about, what goes into farming. So we typically get upwards of 1,000 people at this event if the weather's good. And so far, the report looks very
like
good.
A beautiful weekend.
Looks like a beautiful weekend. Lots and lots of things for people of all ages to do. A lot of demonstrations of farm equipment and farm skills. Sheep shearing and blacksmithing and that kind of thing. Beekeeping. We have really good activities for kids. We've got a farmer's market this year where we're featuring this year our work with ag. So we're trying to do as much as possible to demonstrate the variety of farming. We're going to have 10 different farmers selling their wares, farmers we've had a relationship with at a farmer's market. Going to be selling CSA shares. It's a great event. It's really fun for people of all ages, and it is our one main big event of the year. It helps us to fund the work we do, and hopefully we'll have another great turnout.
It's clctrust.org for more information, clctrust.org. Peter Payden is the executive director of the Columbia Land Conservancy. Their annual country barbecue is on Sunday, May 24th. Again, clctrust.org for more information. Peter, have a wonderful event. Thank you so much for sharing the great work that you do.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.